but that's all right. Pray for Brother Bill Turner. He's sick. They think they might have it nailed down as vertigo. And if it's vertigo, man, he's had that for a long, long time. I'm hoping that's it. I really do. I hope that it is vertigo and he can take medication to get better because he's been nauseous and sick for years. It hasn't just been a little while. It's been years. So make sure you pray for him. Pray for Fred as well. I think he's either homesick or taking care of Daph. She's recovering well. So praise the Lord for that. But make sure you continue to pray for them. Everybody make it okay today? No road problems? Nobody slid off the road? Boy, it came in like crazy at around 7:15, 7:30 today. It started really snowing. So praise the Lord. It's March. I mean, amen. All right. So March. Comes in like a lion. Is that right? Is that what it says? Yeah, comes in like a lion. Well, it's coming in like a lion, guarantee you that. But all right. Esther chapter 4 was Haman pays for the Jews' demise. Evil starts to take control and starts to win. Chapter 5, Esther, and chapter 4 was Esther talking the talk for such a time as this, and if I perish, I perish. Chapter 5, she puts feet to that though, praise the Lord. She doesn't just talk about it, she actually does it. And we praise the Lord that she went in there and found favor in the sight of the king and set up that banquet and had Haman there. And then Esther chapter 6 comes along, and we're going to go to Proverbs very quickly, just a stopover in Proverbs chapter 16, if you would. Proverbs chapter 16. I want to show you something real quick before we start. Many folks misquote this verse. The verse does not say in chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before a fall. That's not what that says, although very, very many people say that. But that's not what the verse says. The verse says much more than that. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I want you to keep that verse in mind as we start to get into chapter 6. And I want to set this up as a lot of times we have very difficult time watching people that aren't doing the correct things and aren't being godly and aren't being spirit-filled. And by the way, it's not difficult to tell a person that's not being spirit-filled. A lot of people fake it. A lot of people think that they are very spiritual, and they really are not very spiritual, but not hard to see somebody that's that way. And you can definitely tell how they are in times of distress and times of hard times. You can definitely tell a person that's not spiritual during those times. But this is a person that's prideful, and you see that Haman's going to have this pride, and we'll show you here in a minute. But he's going to have this pride, and this pride's going to go before destruction. I'm going to prove out the Bible to be true. And I caution us because there's times that we envy the person that has the stuff. We envy the person that has the things of this world that we would consider to be extravagant things, or let's say rich folk. We start to envy them, or we start to envy a person that has things that we know they're not doing the right things. And there's rich folk that do the right things. Please don't misread me. That's not the point. The point is, there's people that aren't doing the right things, and we as Christians sometimes start to envy them and say, man, you know, they're not doing the right thing, but boy, here's the Lord blessing them. They're not doing the right thing, but boy, here they are not struggling like we are. Here they are not going through. Be very careful that you don't envy those type of people, because believe me, the hole that they have in their life is never going to be filled by the stuff that they get. It's just never going to be filled that way. And I got to be honest with you, just to caution you even further, it's not about money sometimes even. It's sometimes it's about, you know, the way that your life is going or the way that things have happened to you. Trust me, you're not going to fill what you need in your life with anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not going to work. Amen. You can keep searching, you can keep looking, you can keep going in the wrong directions, and you can search in every other direction. By the way, an alcoholic specifically because they're seeking something. They're seeking something, and for that time period, that alcohol takes them out of what they're in and puts them into something else. For that time period, they feel like that hole, that void, that place that they need to put something is filled. But then when they come back out of that alcoholic stupor, they come to the realization that that hole is never filled. That's why the Bible said they will seek it yet again. They do it time after time after time, looking to fill something, looking to have that place, have something there. But that something is never going to be there unless that something is a someone. And that has to be Jesus Christ. Has to be. If you're looking for something today, you feel like your life's not fulfilled, fill it with Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Read his Bible. Good night. Get out of the paper. I'm not against reading the paper, but there's not a whole lot good in there. You're just going to get yourself depressed. Forget the paper. Read the Bible. Well, I'm going to read this book by Joel Osteen, or I'm going to read this book by Joyce Myers. I'm going to read all these books. They don't have the answer. The answer's right here in the Bible. Look in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Let your life be filled with it. Then pray to God. When's the last time you talked with him, for goodness sake? That void will be filled by him if we'll allow it to be filled by him. You look in your Bibles, we're going to start in chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the books, the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written, by the way, I want to let you know this one, before we start this verse, Mordecai is the kind of person that I would love to be. Mordecai is the kind of person, when we get into this verse, when we get into this chapter here, I want you to understand something very important. And this is something that almost every person that I know lacks. Almost every person, and I do too, by the way, I lack it very, very much. And we've got to come to an understanding that if we can see what Mordecai did not get, we can be excited for our own lives and come to this understanding. I want you to see this verse. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. Now, wait a minute. Mordecai told somebody that somebody was out to get the king. That is a very big honor, protecting your king. That's a very big honor, protecting your preacher, or protecting your friend, or protecting those around you. You ever had somebody come and talk bad about somebody else you can't wait to join in? See, this is what didn't happen. Mordecai says, I'm not going to join in on that. I'm going to stop it right here, and I'm not going to, don't come to me and talk bad to me about my preacher. Let me say that again. Don't you come to me and talk to me bad about my preacher. I know my preacher's got faults. I understand that. But understand this, I'm not going to allow you to talk bad about my preacher to me. He's got faults, so do you.
Amen, that's it.
Amen? Mordecai put an end to it. He said, hey, listen, this is not going to happen on my watch. Him and the king didn't necessarily see eye to eye. That wasn't the point. The point was that was his king, and he cared about his king. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Boy, I tell you right now, and you listen to me and you look at me. How many people I've seen leave this ministry over the years because they did not get what they thought they deserved? How many people have left this ministry or left your friendship over the years because they did not get what they feel that they deserve? In this church, we clap for everything. Honest to goodness, walls are white. Let's give them a great hand. I mean, we clap for everything in this church. We really, really do. And I understand. Listen, I understand that many people need to have that. It's a need in their life. Hunter, if they do something, if they scrub a toilet, they need to be talked about in the church. You've heard story after story after story about people put the wonderful flowers up there, but nobody ever talks about how wonderful the flowers are, so the flowers stop coming. Why? Because nobody said I was good. Here we are in the life that it's our job to do things for Jesus Christ. It's our job. It is something that we, not only our job, we ought to desire to do something for Christ. We ought not have the desire to have our back patted. We ought to have our desire to do something for the Lord. Amen. Here's Mordecai that did something great for his king. No dignity has been put on him. No honor has been given him. But not one place in the Bible do you read where Mordecai was crying about it. I would to God that that could be myself. That I could do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not worried about if people know. I would to God that we could live our lives as Christians, coming to the understanding that Christ died for you. I should go ahead and give myself to him. The Bible says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? Because the Lord sees you. He knows what you're doing. He understands. Why do you need the praises of men when you've got the praises of your Lord? But it's truly surprising to me how many folks have come through. They'd have made list after list after list of things that they've done and handed it to the preacher, hoping that he would read the list from the pulpit, authored by. You know, God's not thrilled about that. That work that that person or those people or the ones that have come through, this is where it rises and falls right here. You better hear me. The work that you do, if you are interested in getting accolades from men, you'll get them, and that'll be the end of your reward. That'll be the end. You want me to go ahead and praise you in front of everybody? Go ahead. But the end of your reward is that day, that moment. Your reward is ended. That's all you get. But if you allow God to take care of it, your reward is in heaven waiting for you, and it's going to be eternal. Now, you ought not want to do things even for eternal rewards. Please understand, we ought not want to do things so we have a big pile of gold waiting for us in heaven. That still is not the reason to do something. It's wonderful, and it's something that God gives to us, but understand this, that's not what we should desire to do. We should have a desire to serve God because He died for us on the cross and we owe Him. That's why we should have the desire. That's why we should want to do things. That's why we should go out and do the bus routes and do every ministry that you do. And let me tell you, I think we should talk about faithfulness of people. I think we should talk about what people do. But understand this, you should not be sitting in your chair desiring that to happen. Now it comes before the King. I hope and pray that my attitude mirrors that of Mordecai in this thing. I really do. Because now the king finds out. The king finds out and says, wait a minute. What has been done? Haman has been exalted. Haman's been put up. He's second in command. All these things have happened to that evil man who did nothing to deserve it. And here's Mordecai that did something to deserve it, but he never got it. Oh, it's easy to agree with me sitting here, isn't it? But allow that to happen at your workplace. Huh? Come on now. Come on now. Let's put it where it's at. Let's let that rubber meet the road this morning. Let's let that happen in your life. Where that person that does not deserve the promotion gets it. Huh? In your eyes, they don't deserve it, by the way. Maybe they don't. They very well may not deserve the promotion. But God is the one that promotes. Let God take care of it. That's hard to do, amen? It's easy to say. Boy, that's easy to say. But you allow some little punk engineer, Brother Jordan, come into your place 17 years old, and all of a sudden he makes the Jordan 10,000, and you're out on the street. That's hard, man. That's hard to chew. He's been there a long time. He's worked very hard on that, what he's doing. And some little punk kid comes in, takes all that, and he's probably the boss's kid, by the way. That's why I get everything I get, right? Amen. Come on now. That's why you've been promoted, Brother Dave. You are the son-in-law to the preacher. Hey, I tell you what, I'll trade you today if you'd like. Today. But that's the way we think. That's the way we think. Here's Mordecai, didn't get a thing. He protected, by the way, he never asked for it. I don't see anywhere in there where he asked for it. Now the king finds out. You know, it's good to find out from somebody else that you did something wonderful, by the way. It's good to find out from somebody else's mouth. Let other men praise you. Amen. Let other men praise you. Don't worry about praising yourself. Amen. You praise yourself, you lost your reward. By the way, it's not very appealing. Having somebody stand up here, and by the way, we've had them. We've had them time after time after time that can't wait to pontificate on their greatness. You know it. You've seen them. Can't wait to tell you how great they are. Can't wait to tell you all the things that they've done. Well, I've led 75,000 people to the Lord today. And you just lied. See, if you look at Mordecai here, I would challenge you to serve Christ, not man.
Amen. Amen.
Serve Christ, not man, because Christ is the one that sees it. But more than that, Brother Mike, Christ sees why you served Him. I've had lots of people say, forget the motive, just serve God. No, 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 no. You can tell that preach is good. I want to know your motive. Why are you serving God? Are you serving God for God, or are you serving God for man? I've got to know. It matters in my eyes. Because I don't want somebody to go throughout their life serving the Lord. And I've told you this testimony time after time. I served my preacher for the first few years I was here. I wanted to impress my dad. Hey, whatever. Right, what, you can say what you want to say. That's why I did it. Then the Lord told me, hey, man, you're serving the wrong guy. I decided, you know what? I better start serving the Lord and forget about serving him, because if I serve God, he'll be happy. See, we worry so much about the things that we really can't control. Forcing the issue, trying to make people appreciate what we do. God knows, and God will take care of it. I want to know, and I don't need to know personally, but when somebody is serving the Lord, it's important for them to know why they're serving the Lord. It's important for you to know why. You can start out your ministry to impress somebody, you really can. But I've got to be honest with you, I watch... And I know I pick on them all the time, but I watch Brother Dan, Brother Larry come in all the time for the buses. I dare say they don't care at all if anybody says one thing at all about them from up at this pulpit.
That's right.
I don't believe they come in for that. I don't believe, as a matter of fact, they probably don't like being talked about, to be real honest with you. That's what humility gives you. But you watch them serve year after year after year. They've been serving ever since I've been here, 20 years now. They were serving way before I got here. They've been serving for decades. That's the faithfulness. That's the wondrous faithfulness that we get to witness and see in people. And that wonderful faithfulness that Mordecai displayed here towards his king. That's that wonderful faithfulness that you see. I'm not interested in a flash in a pan. I'm not interested in somebody's record. I'm not interested in hearing your resume. I want to know what you've done for God, and I want to know why you've done it. Verse 3, what the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Well, the king sees your service. The king sees your faithfulness. The king sees you coming to church. The king knows what you've done. The king sees it. Wouldn't you rather be honored by God? Wouldn't you rather have someone say up in heaven, hey, have you considered my servant Dan Sable? Have you considered that he comes in every single Sunday, never misses? Have you considered that servant? Have you considered him? Because I'm going to tell you, he may not be talked about. He may not think he gets his reward there. But I'm going to tell you, I reward him every day. And the king knows. See, that's the great thing about Christ. The king knows what you do.
Amen.
Here's the king finding out. This mortal king finds out about what he's done. What do you think the King of Kings does? How he protects us, how he loves us, how he takes care of us, how he prepares that place for us. Look at this now. What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. But Mordecai kept on serving. But Mordecai kept on being a great guy. But Mordecai kept on being faithful. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman, remember him? He's the bad guy. Remember the verse I read to you earlier? Pride goeth before destruction. I love these verses that are coming up, by the way. I get real excited about this. Haman was coming to the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai. Why? Because Mordecai would not stand when he walked through the gate. You will revere me. Reverend. My favorite term in the whole wide world when a preacher calls himself reverend. The reverend, the honorable, most hallowed reverend. Can't stand, makes me want to throw up. To hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Remember those gallows? Remember his wife and all his buddies gathering around? We'll show them. Mordecai won't stand for this. Well, we're not going to stand for Mordecai. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in. I love this verse, by the way. And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Haman walks into the room. The king says to Haman, Haman, What shall we do to a man that I decide to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? Is that pride? I believe that's the very definition. Who would the king rather? I mean, I'm Haman. He's calling me in and saying, Haman, who and what shall we do to a man that I would like to desire, to delight and to give them his desires? And Haman says, he must be speaking of me. I mean, what kind of person do you have to be? If it's good, well, you must certainly be speaking of me. It must be me, because I'm the greatest. Where's this mindset? I've met people like this. I used to be one of them. Hey, whatever. I come to the realization I'm a sinner. You better come to that realization if you don't know it. Haman walks into the court, and the king says, I want to honor somebody. Haman says, got to be me that he's going to honor. So Haman really plays it up. Haman says, listen, this is what this is what you ought to do. Because it's me, I'm going to make sure I get everything's coming to me. Right? If it's going to be me, I think, boy, if I was going to delight in a man king, I'd give him $800 million is what I'd do. I tell you, I'd deck him out, man. I'd make sure he was taken care of. By the way, he came in. Why did he come in? He came in to propose to the king that he hangs Mordecai, right? Not that Mordecai was against the king, but because Mordecai was against Haman, it would not stand when he walked through the gate. I love this. To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, which is me. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse which the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, because one of the other princes just would not do, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. You sick of that voice yet? Okay. His thought process. I want you to see what he's doing. You got to understand what he's asking for. He's asking to be seen as the king. He's asking to be seen in front of the whole world, all the public, throughout the city streets. He's wanting to have people come and dress him, only the most noble, letting them understand, the most noble, letting the most noble understand that they are subservient to him. He's, through this gesture, trying to establish a pecking order that puts him only below the king himself and letting everybody in the whole wide world see it. Is the crown his? No, it's the king's. Are the clothes his? No, they're the king's. Is the horse his? No, it's the king's. Are the streets his? No, they're the king's. And he's trying to let everybody know, listen, I know that the king delighteth to honor in me, so I'm going to show you that I truly only am subservient to the king. He's trying to let everybody know underneath him that they are underneath him. Do you know a lot of preachers act this way? Huh? You know the number one job of a preacher is to serve his people. He should be the greatest servant in the whole wide church. He should be the one that once has a desire. Why do you think Jesus washed the feet of his disciples? Why do you think he did that? He didn't do that for some gesture so we can do that throughout the rest of our days, holding that to be the tradition of men, that you can't be a pastor unless you wash somebody's feet, okay? That's nasty. But Jesus was showing us this to let them know he's God. Do you do realize that Jesus is God? He's God washing the dirt off of feet to show them as an example that I am the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty One, Prince of Peace, and I'm going to serve all of you. Amen. How should we as Christians be? I shouldn't desire the horse. I shouldn't desire the royal apparel. I should not desire the crown royal. I should not desire to be paraded through the streets. I should desire to be as Mordecai was, doing things without worrying about the reward. Doing things without worrying about being put up in front of people. Doing things without having to worry about telling everybody what I've done. I'll never forget, I was in the presence of a person that literally made their resume and set that in front of my preacher to display his greatness. You know what? It wasn't well received. It wasn't well received because that's not what we're in the business for. It was not well received because that's not what Christ has asked us to do. It wasn't well received because I don't believe God was pleased with having our stuff put on a bulletin board of what we've done. I don't believe God is interested in why you serve him if you're serving him to serve man. I don't believe he's interested in that. And here's a man that came forward. Oh boy, here we go. I'm going to have this great pride, this great moment of a haughty spirit. I'm going to have all these things. And King, if you're going to honor me, this is how I want it to be. Think about that for a minute. Not only is he having this desire to be honored in front of all the people, he's having a desire to tell the king how to honor him. It's like having a surprise party and you get to pick out how it's going to be. It's like being honored and you get to kind of explain to people how you'd like to have it go. I mean, this is probably one of the greatest examples of pride in all the scripture. How Haman is acting right now at this very moment. But what did I read to you before? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can we watch these next verses as you get great joy over this? Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said. Can you see Haman's chest just... What you've said, Haman. Haman's like, that's right. I can just see myself. You know he was playing it over and over in his mind. You know he was. You always say, boy, this is going to be so cool. I'm going to get paraded through the streets. Everybody's going to see me. Woohoo! And do even so to Mordecai. What? Can you even feel his heart falling here? The pride going before destruction. The haughty spirit going before the fall. Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. And by the way, I love that. Sitteth at the king's gate. The very thing that he had a problem with. The very thing that Haman had a problem with was Mordecai sitting. Constantly sitting. You're always sitting. When I walk in, you should stand. Amen? Is that not the thing that he was complaining about? And here's the king saying, I think we should honor Mordecai, the one that sitteth. I wanted him to stop sitting. I wanted him to stand. Can you see the countenance of Haman changing? Can you see? Why? Because we've seen it. I've seen it personally. Look at this now. This is so awesome. Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. I remember Haman entering the court with the hanging of this man on his mind. I mean, I can see him at the outer court just...
You wait till I see the king. I'm going to tell him about Mordecai. You think I won't? I'm going to. I've got this gallows built. I'm going to tell you right now.
Do you see him talking to the people out there? Yes, Mordecai's going to hang. You might want to come. 4 o'clock. I'll have chips. We'll make it a party. Haman, please come. That's right. Can you see him walk in? Can you see him, what's on his mind? Do you know the only thing that stopped him from thinking about that was when he could think about him? Remember what he came in for. See, he came in with hanging on his mind. But the king changed his thought process. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can get honored? Oh, yeah. I'll forget about Mordecai for a minute if you're talking about me. How quickly do you become disinterested when somebody's talking about somebody else? Well, you talked about Brother Dan. You don't know how long I've been in the bus ministry, buddy. Hey, I understand that. I know you have been. I get it. The Lord knows. Who am I, by the way? Who am I that you want my praise? Who am I? I'm a sinner. How about you get the praise from the Lord? This man walks in and as fully expects this to be him. There's the king. You know what? I'm going to honor Mordecai. Why? Because Mordecai did something for me. And he was never honored for it. Can you see that Mordecai still sat at the gate even after he was not honored? Can you see that Mordecai still was at his post even though he was still not honored? Do you understand that Mordecai still served diligently even though he was not held up? Do you realize that Mordecai still had faithfulness towards his king even though he was not patted on the back, given a plaque, a certificate, anything like that? We didn't have a banquet in his honor. Although he really respected Esther for calling him in for the banquet. Can you imagine the queen calling just me and the king? In him, in the midst of trying to convince the people that he is worthy. Do you know he said counseling sessions were, he knew that the people in the counseling session were interested in sitting in his chair? You don't want that kind of grief. I've had people think that they could do a better job at being the pastor than the pastor. Oh, I understand. We make mistakes as preachers. I mean, we are loaded with them. But here's the difference. God put him here. God put him here. Who's going to do a better job than the person that God put here? Do we see eye to eye on everything as men? Do we eye to eye? No, we're dumb. Men don't see eye to eye on anything. Get a group of independent fundamental Baptists together, we'll cut each other's throats as soon as possible. Don't know why that is, but it is. But God put this man here. See, there's your difference. God put that man there. God put that preacher there. So God is going to be requiring of him the decisions for God's house. Yet men have come through and left our building because they felt that they could do a better job than the pastor that God put here. That's man. That's man. That's haughtiness. That's pride. That's that desire to be held up. That's a desire to be acclaimed. That's that desire. It happened down at Massillon in a horrible way. Brother Cummins passed away, built one of the greatest churches in Northeast Ohio, and men couldn't wait to tear it apart to be held up by other men. See, here's what you've got to understand. In your life as a Christian, if you want to be successful, come to the realization of who your king is. Come to the realization you don't need men to tell you that you're doing a good job. Let God tell you you're doing a good job. Then took Haman the apparel. He's got to do it now. I love this. He's got to do it now. He's the one that said it. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai himself. The most noble prince. Who's that? That's you, Haman. Hey, can you help Mordecai get dressed? My favorite. And brought him on horseback. Haman's leading him through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Haman is doing the proclaiming. Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning. and having his head covered. And Haman told Jairus, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Jairus, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt surely not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. What is happening? Well, we're seeing Proverbs being fulfilled. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. He's not mourning because he was wrong. He's mourning because he was not getting what he thought he deserved. By the way, I believe with all my heart, if Haman decides to repent and goes to Mordecai and repents, that Haman avoids the gallows. I believe if Haman goes to the king and says, please, king, revoke all those letters. King, don't let that decree to go out. It's my fault. I was wrong. I did the wrong thing. And how good and gracious would the king have been to say, yes, I will revoke that. I will take that back. You didn't know what you were doing. That pride that you had, I'm glad it's gone. I'm glad you repented, and I'm going to make it right. The king would have taken care of it, but Haman still kept that pride inside of him. Every one of us goes through times of pride. Get rid of the pride. Come to the king and repent. Come to the king and say you're sorry. Come to the king and ask for forgiveness. He'll give it to you. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. We'll get into this last chapter, but know this. Haman never repented. Haman never asked for forgiveness. He stored the hatred for Mordecai just long enough to get him on his own gallows. He stored that pride, wouldn't let go of it. And that pride that you have inside of you is destroying you. It's not destroying Mordecai. I'm all done with this. You do come to the realization that your pride is not destroying the man or the woman that you have focus on. It's not destroying them. The bitterness that you're holding inside is not destroying them. Your casting glances of hatred are not destroying them. Your prideful banter behind their closed doors are not hurting them. They're not destroying them. Your pride is destroying you. Your bitterness is destroying you. It's getting you out of the service of the king, not them. They'll walk around just like nothing ever happened. It'll make you more aggravated than you can ever imagine. You've got to let go of it. Not easy to do, by the way. One of the most difficult things to do is get rid of the thing that you think is so right. But it's going to destroy you, not them. Who was on the gallows? Who was hung? It wasn't Mordecai. These grand plans and things that he was thinking about doing to Mordecai came to pass on himself. These thoughts that he would be hung in front of all the people. That's why he built the gallows so high, so everyone could see it. Instead, it was him. His pride destroyed him, not Mordecai. Very simple chapter. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you're worried about that person out there that's got that pride, and that pride's focused towards you, retaliation's not the answer. Service is the answer. Getting closer to the Lord is the answer. God will take care of all that. And if you've got the pride, let go of it. Ask God to forgive you. Ask the person you've got the bitterness towards to forgive you. I'm sure that they will, and they probably didn't even know you had it. That pride goeth before destruction. That haughty spirit goeth before a fall, and we see it acted right here in Esther. Let go of that which is in you that can keep you from serving your king. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, thank you for this wonderful lesson. Let us all live the way Mordecai lived, Lord, myself, Lord, I'm speaking to me. Oh, God, there's times that I get wrapped up in this and I lose focus on what I'm doing. I lose focus on who I'm serving. Oh, God, please let those times go away. Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that is suffering from these very things, oh, God, please let them repent quickly, because this pride and bitterness that they have inside themselves, oh, God, it's going to destroy them, not the person they've got it aimed towards. Lord, be with them in a special way. Let them know that you love them. And let them know that you're ready to forgive them. Lord, please anoint my pastor for this morning's service. We need to hear from you today. Lord, I'm so thankful he's preaching in his pulpit this morning. Lord, what a miracle that is. Be with him in a special way. I thank God for all the people that serve in this church. We've got the greatest church in the world of servants. Lord, please bless them and let them know that their labor is not in vain. Let them know that you love them, and let them know that you've got it all under control. You've got their reward for them. Lord, please let them wait for that time. Lord, be with us today in a special way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.